I was given a note earlier today, that tells us that some of your former subversive activities had a great impact. It says, it's talking about the charges having been dropped against the women who bared their breasts in... Gwen Jacob, who I had met at the University of Toronto, you know, so I've sort of been following this story. And so I was passed this little note that says, this message tells me that the fact that the charges have been dropped tells me two things. First, that I should no longer be ashamed or embarrassed by my own body. In addition, female nudity is not for the sole pleasure of men. Why in the past has female nudity been acceptable for male pleasure in magazines and in strip bars, but when it is for women's comfort and pleasure, it's not okay? Next summer, I will be the first one on the beach and in the park with my top off. There's a mic here and a mic there. And if you would rather not get up and go to the mic, if that seems off-putting, just stand up where you are. Probably we can hear you. And if not, I will repeat so everybody can hear you.
Back in 1970, you encouraged Norman Mailer to run for mayor of New York, and you talk about the personal as political. Have you ever thought of running for direct political office yourself?
That was before I was a feminist that I had encouraged Norman to run for. There was this crazy campaign in New York in which Norman Mailer and Jimmy Breslin were running on the campaign, on the platform of making New York into the 51st state. And it was a lot of fun. It was not serious. Their slogan was "Vote the Rascals In." But no, I have not really thought about running for office, though it is true that that Reagan and Bush did serve the purpose of, you know, removing all sense of humility I and many others might have felt at approaching high office. Usually when I come to Canada, I feel that I maybe should ask for political asylum, but since we finally removed Bush from the continent, I think it's okay to go home. But it's already very strange for me to be doing what I'm, or it's pushing boundaries for me to be doing what I'm doing. I'm supposed to be home as a writer. I didn't speak in public until I was about in my middle 30s. I was too scared to speak in public. So all you learn, and I still get nervous about it, all you learn is you don't die. If anybody is looking for but running for office and being totally a public person is not what I should be doing. I should be staying home and writing at least a major portion of the time.
And just one other quick thing. Speaking of office, what is your opinion of President Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton?
Well, I worked my ass off getting them elected, so I clearly feel that there was a huge, huge, huge difference between the Clinton platform and persona and the Bush one. If you mean by including Hillary, what do I think? I think that the U.S. taxpayer is extraordinarily lucky to be getting two for the price of one. And the people who are against her were mostly for Bush anyway. But I think that together they are pioneering in public an issue that I would count as important as anything considered political, and that is an equal relationship between, or a more equal relationship between, a woman and a man.
First of all, I can't understand why there aren't more people behind me. Since there are so many people in this room, don't be shy. It won't kill you to get up here. I just wanted to mention to this crowd of people, since it was so appropriate after you talked about how it's time for men, the part of the message that I got from what you said, which made me feel absolutely great, is the circle that you're talking about where women have started, and I will say women have started because that is so, with the revolution, it's time and it's starting that men are catching on. And in our town, we have the Ontario Centre for Men that is starting, and we have a men's crisis line. And that's very exciting because Guelph seems to have a certain energy to it that, that brings new things. And if the only thing we're ever known for is that we started the Ontario Centre for Men here, then I think we have a lot to be proud of. And thank you so much for speaking to that, because as there is a male and female within all of us, then when you spoke about how now is the time for men to pick it up, or maybe I'm rewording it in my own words because my dream is mine, then I'm so very happy to hear that you spoke to that, because yes, we as women we now can say yes, we can do what men can do. Mm-hmm. And now to say, now men, it's time to, maybe not the breastfeeding, but all the other stuff they can do, then that's certainly something to celebrate.
However, it's interesting that a woman is still, you know, announcing the men's center.
It's in my building. I can't help it.
Do men here know about it? Do you know how can you tell them how to get in touch if they want to?
You just have to look up Bruce Bocking's number in the phone book. And it's there. And for all the judgments that have been put out around women who have been bold enough to speak over the years, just as you might be ready to judge any of the men who are starting these things out, remember that their goal is true and that they are trying to claim back themselves too.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
I very much appreciated the way you tie the political and the personal together. And you stress the importance of groups, but I'd also like to stress the importance of individuals. A research finding that I saw recently troubled me, and that was when women respond to a questionnaire, they will state that women as a whole are being discriminated against, yet they deny that they're personally being discriminated. And I think that we each have to look in our lives, and when we see discrimination, act on it and not deny that it's happening to us. Mm-hmm.
No, I completely agree with you, but I think that what makes us know that we are being discriminated against is when we hear another story like ours. You know, I think that there were countless women in the States and perhaps in this country too who didn't know they had been sexually harassed, for instance, until they heard Anita Hill and all the discussion that went on around Anita Hill. So I think we can learn, you know, from as individuals and from books. I mean, I wouldn't be writing books if I didn't think that they were portable friends. But I think there's no substitute for the actual listening and support and sharing that comes in a group. Yeah.
Hi. I would like to say something else about the men's center that was brought up before, because I think of course that it is really important that men do something, and just as for me in response to feminism, but not as a reaction to it, just as me as a white person, it's not only important that I do something about racism, but that I take direction from people of color and I figure out what my contribution is to that. And I may be crazy for doing this, standing up here in this town and saying this in public, but I do have a lot of concerns about the approach of this particular men's center. I think in principle it is a very important idea, and I suspect that some of the men who got involved to put it together have good intention, but I believe it is not in response to the women's movement, and it is not going to directly deal with sexism. It's not a political action, as far as I can tell. It's a therapy group for men to make men feel better about their situation, not in response to women's situation and men's situation. And this is, I'm saying this from my reading of the pamphlet nowhere is feminism discussed or how the center and its activities are going to respond to that and what they're going to do. In fact, there's a rather petulant tone in it about how men may have been made to feel. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good example of what generally happens. I do see more and more men with an understanding of gender imbalance, and more and more men trying. But this sort of thing, we need more than a therapy movement. It has to be some political stuff as well. With men willing to have the kind of courage a lot of women have too, to look inside and figure out where they're responsible and how they're contributing, not just to make each other feel good.
Yeah, I think that it does have to be full circle. It does have to be internal and political at the same time. That's the whole idea. I mean, and the racial parallel is a good one, I think. I mean, speaking for myself, I don't think that I was a very trustworthy ally to the racial liberation movements, even though I was working in those movements, until I began to see the way that racism restricted and dehumanized me. And I began to see my self-interest in it, and I got mad. You know, how dare they tell me who my friends are? How dare they put me in a white ghetto from living in India for a couple of years and for a lot of other reasons in my life, I got mad on my own behalf and I got politically active on my behalf in a sense. And therefore, I think I became more trustworthy. And I think men who get angry at the fact that they are made to feel like they should be in control, earn a lot of money, even be violent in order to be real men, you know, never see their kids, you know, end up 30 years later with an engraved watch and they don't know who their kids are, you know. So, I mean, you know, that's what creates the energy to be politically active and not just therapeutic, not just papering over. Yes.
I got up here to recommend a particular book. The first part of your talk was about the difference between romance and authentic love. And in trying to grapple with those kinds of issues, because romance is what comes at us totally from the patriarchal culture and all the institutional structures, it's very hard to figure out how do I recognize the difference and what is it that I'm really looking for. And that I have found a particular book that I think is really good at describing it. She goes through the romantic myth by using Harlequin romance and Tristan and Isolde and various other things to tear it apart and shows how it's related to the patriarchal structures of society, and then goes on to talk about a different form of loving the other person for who they are and taking delight in them. So it's called Subversive Thoughts, Authentic Passions, How to Find Love Without Losing Yourself by Bonnie Kreps, K-R-E-P-S. Recommend it for anyone looking
great
for that.
And we ought to feel free to get up and tell books and groups that we found helpful. That's great.
It's also very inexpensive. It's about a $5 paperback. It's sort of gotten into the junk.
Subversive Thoughts, Authentic Passions by Bonnie
Kreps.
Kreps, K-R-E-P-S. Okay, great. This is where all the books in the back of my book came from. Exactly, recommendations like this. Yes.
I have a question and a thought that runs through my life a lot that I find affects women more than men is about the beauty and the myth and about how we're supposed to look and how we're supposed to act every day. And I come in contact with that a lot, about wondering what I look like, what another woman looks like when I see her and how I judge her. And it seems to be something that a lot of my women friends can relate to and have to deal with. And I'm curious as to why it still is going on and still being perpetuated by mm-hmm. other women, and what I can do about looking at other women and myself, mm-hmm. not by judging them mm-hmm. that way, but by who they are.
Yeah, a lot of you probably know The Beauty Myth by Naomi Wolf, but if you haven't already read that, it's a very powerful book. And it is true that women are judged more on our skins than, you know, what's in our heads and our hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's wrong. And we must remember that, that like any true prejudice, what it means is you can't win, yeah. You know? I mean, if you're conventionally beautiful, everything you do is because you got there through men and you're resented by other women. If you're older and not conventionally beautiful, everything you do is because you couldn't get a man. And you so but what helps me, I don't know if this will help you or not, but what helps me is to, see, I think what how it gets to us is convincing us that there is an objective standard of beauty which we're not meeting. And once we, what helps me is to realize there is no objective standard of beauty. That it is not about how, the standard is not about how we look, but what how it's trying to get us to behave. So after, I mean, before, just after World War II, in both of our countries, there was the kind of Marilyn Monroe voluptuous breasts, hips kind of ideal, because they were trying to get us to have more children. To replace the losses of the war. I'm not saying this is totally conscious. Somebody doesn't sit down and say, but it happens culturally. And as soon as we had more children, then the kind of twiggy, skinny Audrey Hepburn look came in. So it's about behavior, not about aesthetics. And certainly that's clear with racism. I mean, that you know, the skinny white blonde is supposed to be more beautiful than the dark-skinned, you know, obviously that's political. And there's so many ways in which you can look at, for instance, rich cultures value thin women, and poor cultures value fat women, because women are men's possessions, and it's about wealth and what's rare and so on. But all patriarchal cultures value weak women. So to become physically strong is a very deep change, very deep change.
Do you have any tips about when you see magazines and when you're constantly being bombarded by the media, and it's difficult because you know that you don't want to keep feeding into it, but mm-hmm. but it's really hard when everywhere you turn you seem to be being bombarded by it. Is there any tips to just keep that in mind? On a daily practice?
Well, one thing that's helpful, I think, is just not to look at what you don't have to look at, not to buy the fashion magazines, you know, which are only about selling products. Believe me, for somebody who's worked in women's magazines, there's hardly any pages in there of real facts. I mean, and just not to look at it, and maybe to go through a period of time in which you consciously don't look at it. What helped me was that I happened to go to a spa where I was for, you know, a whole week or 10 days with no media whatsoever, and also with a whole group of other women of all sizes, shapes, colors, ages, and we were all hanging out in the steam room and in the sauna and so on. And I suddenly realized that without the reference to society that clothing brings, that each woman and her body was beautiful and right exactly as it was. You know, it had a rationale of its own. And I also got, I mean, I ended up writing a piece called In Praise of Women's Bodies out of this experience, because I also suddenly was enormously moved by the scars on women's bodies, especially stretch marks and cesarean incisions, because I thought, you know, these are scars that come not from taking life, but from giving life. And how incredibly courageous it is for a woman who has gone through childbirth once to go through that pain again, you know? and that each of these scars speak to us, you know, like each of the wrinkles and laugh lines and so on speak to us of experience. So, you know, if it's possible to just, at least for a period of time, jettison or change your frame of reference, I do think it helps.
Well, my empathy level with the woman who was feeling brave to make any kind of criticism about the Center for Men is very high, because I want to stand in a lot the same space. I think that it's very, very important that we ask an organization like the Center for Men to be clear and to articulate their rationale for what it is they're doing. We at Women in Crisis wrote a letter to the Center for Men and asked them to give us a rationale for what it was, an understanding of what it's all about. And the letter we got back essentially says, well, we're figuring that out. And as far as I'm concerned, it's very important to have it figured out before a crisis line starts up. I know you'll continue to figure it out, and I know that it will evolve, but there needs to be some kind of accountability and some promise to take into account the violence that's done to women and children. Some of the readiness and openness and welcome that there is for this initiative comes because we give a lot of credence to Dr. Bocking, because he's a medical doctor. But I think it's up to us to always ask and not assume. You need to ask Women in Crisis as well, what's your rationale? Why do we do what we do, and why do we do it the way we do? Ask us, and we'll be really glad to answer. And if our answer isn't satisfactory, then that's really helpful for us, because it'll push us to define it more clearly. I think that as a community, we have to get involved and ask for that kind of clarity.
Okay, thank you. There are some, very powerful and good men's groups that have evolved, and there are many in this country, there are many in the States, and one of them is the Oakland Men's Project, for instance, and some of their related works I put in the book list in the back of my book, too. There's a book called Men's Work, Ending Male Violence, and it's ending violence not only against women and children, but against other men. Now, they started out to try to give models of nonviolent masculinity to the young adolescent boys in the Oakland area in California, which is a pretty tough area. And in so doing, they, over the last 15 years, have really become a community of men. They're very multiracial. They're gay and straight men together, which usually means it's really working, you know. Because believe me, Robert Bly's groups are, you could go snowblind in there. They're really white. And they're, and they're, as far as I can see, not gay and straight men together. So, that's very atavistic, is doing something else, going back to the drums and the zone. But there are a lot of terrific men's groups that really are going forward and shattering this kind of prison of masculinity. And if you... consultants that I might happen to know, to come here, or any books or so on, please look in the back or talk to me, and I'll supply whatever it is I know.